The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and I'm excited because today is a pick show, but also because this episode is sponsored by Express. Express is all new and all about you with a fresh assortment of casual, versatile, and super comfortable styles. Find out more about Express and their exclusive offer for our podcast listeners later in the show. Joining me now, the white and tan boys, RJ White, Kenny White, and Pete Prisco. What's happening, fellas?
What's up? Week seven. Is this season ripping through or what?
It is. Flying by.
I like it.
Amazing how quickly things go when you have to cancel some of the games and move them to later in the season.
Yeah, well, we've got a situation there that is worth at least monitoring if, hypothetically, you jam the Buccaneers -3 in the first half Buccaneers line. That game could potentially be canceled. We'll get to that in a minute.
Or it's already been moved.
It's already been moved.
Yeah.
But that's because they moved it to 4 p.m. on Sunday out of the Sunday
night game. To make sure they play the Sunday night game.
Because they want to guarantee they have a Sunday night game. So Kyler and Russell Wilson will be on Sunday night.
That's fun, too.
Yeah, and I heard, too, for DraftKings purposes, they're going to keep Seattle-Arizona on the main slate, which is kind of cool because usually, you know, the game, the contests are right. over at 8 p.m., right. so now it'll like continue to be.
My contest is usually over about 2 p.m.
Certainly by 3 p.m. Yeah. All right, so last week, best bets. Let's talk about them. Interesting turn of events this week. RJ White, Kenny White.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Congrats, white boys.
White hot, more like it. Both went 6-1 last week. I went 6-2. Dino told me I went 2-7. Please, I was nuclear. 11.
Well, nobody knows what you went because you don't put your picks in until you babble them on here, and we're not sure if you're taking them as a best bet or not. There's no documentation of Will Brinson's picks, by the way. I want to tell the audience that. Everybody else, RJ, Kenny, me, we send our picks in. There's a document. It says best bet, Pete's best bet, RJ's best bet, Kenny's best bet, and then it has Will Brinson's best bet. It has nothing. It's just empty. How do you do that?
You're telling on your show, oh, Sebastian Munoz, hole out for Eagle. Incredible. I got him first round leader. Let's go. Anyway.
Did you put that pick in or are you sure you put it in? You sure it's in? You sure you didn't push the wrong button and you got somebody else?
He didn't like it till after the Eagle. Then he loved it.
It's amazing.
I was down. He went double bogey, Eagle. Anyway. Look, I know you're sort of telling yourself here because you don't pay attention to the podcast because I read all the picks at the end. I read every single one of your best bets and all of my best bets at the end. And that's how we know what they are. And then we put them in the document. And, did we hit the parlay last week? Probably not.
We
would have talked
about it. We did.
Is that like four?
Yeah. It
was Detroit -3, Pittsburgh -3. And then, we had an over that didn't look like
it. Oh, it was the Falcons, Vikings over.
Right.
That looked like it was dead.
That's three times this year, three and seven weeks that we, or three and three six and weeks six? That we've hit the parlay. That's pretty amazing.
I hope people, if you're riding that parlay, send us the receipts. We'd love to see it.
By the way, I had a crappy week. I went 3-3.
Yeah. You went 3-3. I went 6-2. You are still
leading. First.
23-12-1. Fantastic record for Pete. Kenny, 17-10-1. Also fantastic. I'm 22-15. That's great. And RJ's 23-18 after a slow start.
well above 500. Nice work, RJ.
Debo, when you send out the picks, you know, like lately on the Pick Six on Twitter, you've been sending out best bet or whatever. You just decide what the best bet is. Is that how you do that? Send them all out like you did the first couple of weeks. So then we actually know what Brinson has.
I get that. There is more intrigue and more people clicking on the recent ones. So that's why we're going that route. They want to see, if you noticed for the first 4 weeks, your faces weren't on the graphics and they weren't performing as well. We plastered Pete's face on the graphic. What do you know? The link click skyrocketed.
Yeah, they went running for the high hills. Who are you kidding?
I
just want to know what Brinson has on Sunday because I don't believe half the stuff he says.
I'll tell you what I got.
Okay.
All right. So look, if you want to select one that's your top pick that gets featured, by all means, let us know. By the way, speaking of things that are top picks, I'm having a delicious, gorgeous pumpkin beer. That's right. It is Halloween time. It is fall. It is actually a reasonable time to drink pumpkin beer. The savages who start sampling it in August, you people are evil and demented. What's wrong with you?
Beer is not supposed to have pumpkin flavor to it.
It's delicious. It tastes like, it's like a pumpkin puree. It's fantastic.
Ugh.
Anyway, let's get to lovely. Let's get to the actual picks for this week. And we will start with this game has a little feel to it. I don't know, man. It feels like there's something brewing here, maybe an upset or something. Packers -3.5 at the Texans. The over under is 57. And Pete, you've been riding the Packers all year long. They stumbled in week 6, but you probably expect
stumbled. They stunk in week 6. What do you mean stumbled? They were absolutely awful in week 6. And you know what? They're going to bounce back in this game. But why? Because the Texans are so damn bad on defense. They can't rush the passer. They can't cover anybody. They're not a good football team right now. I think Green Bay, yeah, they stumbled. They, you know, 10-0 and then the pick six and then Rodgers went in the jar. He started moping and crying and everything else, but that team hit him. This team won't hit him. He's going to sit back there and pick him apart. I'll take the Packers. It looks a little fishy. I agree, but I'll take the Packers and the over as two of my best bets this week.
Houston's morale has to be down after almost beating Tennessee in overtime to get back into the AFC South mix, but didn't happen. They lost. They're probably out of it now. They just give up 600 yards in an overtime game. I think they're going to be dragging against an elite offense. I would lean to Green Bay also. It's only a lean because of Bakhtiari's health. We don't know if he's going to play, and that's a big loss for them. I think Houston, the one thing they can do on that terrible, terrible defense is rush the passer. So I think that could be a little bit of an issue for Green Bay. And then Deshaun Watson can get through the back door on a lot of these teams. He's such a good quarterback. So just a lean for me. If it was 3, I'd like it more, obviously, but 3.5, I'm going to stay off it.
Yeah, Romeo Cornell sure showed last week why he's not a head coach in the NFL. He blew that football game for Houston, so I can't put my money on Cornell. Green Bay would be the only side I could play here. Obviously going to be a nice bounce back. Looks like they went into Tampa maybe a little overconfident, thought they were going to go in there and walk away with that one, especially if they got up 10-0. They get outscored 38 unanswered. Still Green Bay, I've got them still one of the top teams in the NFC, and that would be who I'm leaning towards. The only thing I see is, you know, Houston still can put up points. We saw it last week. I think they can put up points in this game against Green Bay's defense, but I think there's just too much of the Packers here, so I'll lean to the Packers as well.
So I initially looked at this game and thought, and again, I'll say it again, I'll apologize again, the not taking the Steelers last week and not putting them. Were they in the parlay? I can't even put them in the parlay.
Yeah, we put them in, you and me together. That was the third one we found.
Yeah. I mean, I was personally suggesting that the Browns could win that game and I didn't personally bet on the Steelers and those things were mistakes and I need to own those. Those are mistakes. The Steelers -3 against the Browns at home was the freest money that ever freed in NFL betting. That was it was the easiest win ever. And it was pretty, I seemed too obvious. That was my concern. And this, I sort of started to feel the same way, but David Bakhtiari probably not going to play. I'm a little worried about that for the Packers offense. I just wonder if Deshaun Watson and the Texans offense might get something going against a questionable Packers secondary. I lean Houston here. I wouldn't take them. I think the over was probably the play as well if I was going to make a best bet. I just – something seems stinky about this. And if the Packers lose this one and the Lions won, ooh, it'd be spicy, Pete. Be
a little now, would you stop with that, please?
49ers at the Patriots. Patriots -2. Over under 43.5, Kenny, do you like, who do you like in the Jimmy Garoppolo Bowl?
I like Jimmy Garoppolo. I like San Francisco. I'm the New England Patriots, just too many injuries, not enough superstars. They're going to get better, obviously, because of Bill Belichick, but talent, even with all of the injuries for San Francisco, I have San Francisco a higher rated football team in this game, and I was very, very surprised to see that New England was a favorite here. I guess they're still by name because they're the Patriots and they have Bill Belichick, but this is a below average football team. So give me the 49ers plus the points. Far better defense.
And New England needs to run the ball. They have less than 175 pass yards in four of their five games. The San Francisco defense ranks 7th in rush DVOA, 8th in yards per carry. They're also good in the red zone. So I think New England offense could have a little trouble here. The offense for San Francisco is trending up with Jimmy G healthy. That New England defense has been inconsistent. So this feels like a close lower scoring game to me. In those, you gotta like Belichick. So I don't love the number. So I'm going to tease San Francisco up to 8 as part of my teaser this week. I expect a back and forth game. And remember, this is a revenge spot for Kyle Shanahan. This is the first time since 28-3 that he's going to get to face Belichick, and he wants to pull out all the stops here. So, I think the 49ers do, and I don't mind them plus two, but teasing them up to 8 in what I think is a low-scoring game is the play for me.
Yeah, I disagree. I think it's New England here. I think last week was a bad situation for them. They just played poorly. They had to deal with all the COVID, the rescheduling, this, that. I thought Belichick would handle it better, and they were bad on offense. And I think the 49ers, they played good against a division foe the other night, did a really good job against the Rams. But 2 weeks ago, the Miami Dolphins and benched Ryan Fitzpatrick lit them up. I think Cam Newton's going to play well here. I think they're going to slow down that offense. I really like the Patriots here, so I'll take the Patriots.
Is that the Patriots are one of your best bets?
Yes, I know they are.
Okay, they're not on the –
Oh, they're not on the list. That's right. But yeah, I was going to put them on. Don't put them on, but I do like them a lot.
Interesting from the man who accused me of sort of.
Oh, I know what my best bets are. You just confused me for a second by thinking I had it.
Go ahead and tell us which of us you're copying off of now, Brinson. Go ahead and tell us who you like.
Oh, I got the 49ers.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sure he'll like whatever one of you guys like because he's copying everybody this week.
I got the 49ers in a big money line parlay that I already put in with another team. I'll just tell you now. I got the 49ers, Lions, and the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors in a money line parlay, little double day action. Now, it's totally ruined if Hawaii loses on Saturday. I'll be really mad about it, but I'll probably just bet the 49ers again.
Well, who's Hawaii playing, by the way?
Fresno, maybe?
Fresno State, yeah.
He doesn't
State.
Even know. He doesn't even know.
They're going to win, Pete. Don't worry about it. It's pretty bad. Look, just go ahead and take the money line parlay.
Boy, John Graham.
Yeah.
Copying off of Fornelli's paper there.
Yeah, I like the 49ers to win here. And I think, you know who it's secretly like a, I don't know about revenge game for, but I don't think it's being talked about enough. The Patriots passed on Debo Samuel to take N'Keal Harry. Debo Samuel is a perfect Patriots player. He does everything you would want out of a player that you would put in a Josh McDaniels offense. And they took N'Keal Harry, who's like a slow red zone weapon from a bum ass school in the desert. You could have had Debo Samuel and you took N'Keal Harry. Why would you do that? Give me the 49ers, Debo and Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe even in the Millie Maker. Big game, for them. Buccaneers -3.5 at the Raiders, over under 52. Again, this game, not definite to be played, Kenny, but if it is, who do you like?
Yeah, I love Tampa. Even coming off a win, like the Green Bay game. I mean, most times it seems like in the NFL, these teams have a great game like that. They just can't, step up to the same level. But, you know, I'm starting to even question a little bit now. Was it Belichick or was it Brady? And I'm starting to read more articles on teams that are not focused, not ready to go, or maybe a little too overconfident. Tom Brady's the head of the team, the quarterback, and the Patriots saw that. The players saw his leadership. They saw that this guy hated to lose, his work ethic, his preparation, and everybody on Tampa is buying into that. They're learning how to play football. They're learning how to prepare. They're learning how to be ready. And the talent here is it's not even close. I mean, the Raiders have looked good in a couple games, but I think it's a coaching mismatch. It's a talent mismatch. Tampa's defense right now, number one in the NFL, allowing just 5.4 yards a play. I think they come ready, focused, and they have their way with the Raiders if this game actually is played. The Raiders are going to have some problems on the offensive line.
I lean to Tampa too. I gave it out on Sportsline at 2.5, so I don't want to really play it at 3.5. So it's just a lean for me. You know, we said Brady or Belichick. It's really Brady or McDaniels. You know, it's who's in charge of that offense because that's where Brady plays. And we kind of already answered that with McDaniels' first coaching stint. So I think we kind of already knew it was Brady that made the team. But yeah, Vegas coming out of their bye feeling good about that Kansas City win. I think it's going to be a flat spot even without dealing with the COVID stuff. So I like Tampa too. The defenses couldn't be any more different here, and that's going to be the difference in the game.
I like Tampa, too. You saw what that pass rush and that blitz did to Aaron Rodgers. We know what happens when Derek Carr gets hit in the mouth. He starts going the other way. So I think Tampa's the play here. I do think their defense is getting better, particularly the back end. We're seeing those guys. And I said all along, if that back end got good, they were going to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And they're getting really good in the back end. So I'll take the Bucs as well. And by the way, the Raiders are 0-3 coming off the bye the last against the spread last three years.
And look, when we talk about this, I mean, I have the Bucks as the best bet. I already put the Bucks in at a big number, or I mean, like I put a double 2-unit play on the Buccaneers and the Buccaneers first half. But I'm a little wary of putting it in our parlay because I think the game is probably going to be canceled. And if it comes back on, it's off the board right now because it sounds like every single Raiders starting offensive lineman will be on the COVID list. If this game is played, or if it comes back on, what do we think the number is going to be, RJ?
I think 3 probably. I think it's going to come back on at 3 and 3.5 at some places. It's already started to come back on. They just reacted to the moving of it. But I think, you know, you think it's going to get canceled. I'm not sure it is. These guys are going to have to pass their test, but they're not on because they have COVID. They're on because in proximity. You know, it's not.
So Trent Brown. Trent Brown tested positive, right?
I don't think even that was confirmed. I think that he had close proximity to somebody and he got put on. So right now they're in a wait and see mode with everybody on. If people start testing positive by Sunday, they'll cancel it. But
does moving the game impact it either way as a line guy, Kenny or RJ? Do you guys, does it impact it in the movement because it's not in prime time?
Yeah, not to me. Now that doesn't matter. It's not going to affect the line of the game and how people bet it. But, it may take less volume now if it's the primetime game. Obviously, the more volume it gets, the more general public money you get. In those situations, you get a better number for the underdog usually. So in this one, that number just may not move.
It only affects the line if Kirk Cousins is playing in primetime.
correct me if I'm wrong, Kenny, but because this game is now still scheduled to be played on the same day, all the people that bet it when it was in primetime, those tickets still count, right?
Oh, still count, correct, yes.
If it's moved to a different day.
There are several books that have different verbiage on their house rules. Some it's 24 hours. The game must be played within 24 hours of when it was scheduled, some 48 hours. And the Circa Sportsbooks, who's the new one in town, 7 days they give you that the game must be played.
Circa, so. I mean, like, I from afar, the reputation of Circa has been fantastic. Like, they've done a really good job of being upfront, keeping steady lines. Letting people bet, even sharps bet, like whatever limits they want. I mean, or, you know, to a certain degree, right? They seem to
have,
very good reputation. All right. Well, let's put this in the parlay. Let's cap it at, 5. Would you take the Buccaneers at -5 still?
Let's take them at 3.5.
Okay. I know, okay. If it's 5 when it comes back up, I want people to know.
It's not going to go to 5. I don't think.
Okay. Well, then we're taking it 3.5. We think. Yep. All right, we're taking it 3.5. That's the first game in the parlay. Moving along to the next game, which is the Monday Night Football game. My Bears against the Rams in LA. Rams -6, over under 45. Kenny, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, the Bears have done everything they need to do to win football games. So Matt Nagy's showing he can get the job done. They're 4-2 ATS this year, along with being 5-1 straight up. They just continue, I think, to gain that momentum. They've only lost the turnover battle one time this year. The Rams, they've been impressive for me. I've upgraded their power rating. I still think they're having a nice season. Coming off a loss that, you know, they put everything into that San Francisco game could lead to a little bit of a letdown going into this one. I've got them rated very close power rating wise. So I was very shocked to see the number as high as 6. I think Chicago's going to be able to. Their defense is the better defense, so I love taking the better defense with points. They're barely better, not a lot, but they are the better defense.
I would lean that way too. I almost made Chicago a best bet, but I'd rather take the under 45 as my best bet in this game. I don't trust the Chicago offense. Their D has kept them in games, like you were saying. The Rams offense struggled in two of their last three. The Rams defense is also playing well, so I expect a lower scoring game. Both these teams enter this game with a three-game streak of final scores of at least 40 or less in their games. You know, they haven't played a game that's been more than 40 points over the last three games on each side. So, I think that's what we're going to see here. We're going to get a game in the 30s, maybe, you know, creep over 40, but it's not going to get to 45.
I lean to the Rams. Didn't make it a best bet, but the reason I lean to the Rams, that's the division game last Sunday night. It's tough to gauge those games, and everybody's going to read. I think this number is reflective, not even reflective of that, but I think that the Bears being on the road second straight week, they averaged 5.1 per pass play last week. 5.1. You can't win that way. I think Nick Foles is average as they come. I think Goff has a big day, even though the Bears defense has played well. I'll take the Rams and lay the points. This is the start of the Bears five game stretch where they probably would be lucky to go 1-4 in it.
Woo! We got a new Bears hater in town. Look, I'll be perfectly honest, between my triple troll of the Bears, in which I was like fading them every week and now I'm taking them every week, I actually have no read on the Bears or like what the line should be or what you should bet on. I'm just blindly taking the Bears to win and to cover until they end up losing four straight games. And then I'm going to cackle the whole way. I'm not going to bet on it personally. I think the under is probably a play here. I got nothing on the side.
I would like the under as well, by the way, but,
yeah, I'm in agreement with the under.
Well, let's add the under to the parlay then.
Throw it in.
All right. Throw the under in. Bears, this, you can just picture the lack of passing on this one. Seahawks at the Cardinals. This game was moved to Sunday night, so it is now in prime time. Seahawks -3.5 at Arizona, coming off a big win. This actually helps the Cardinals because they have a little bit more time to prepare. Over under 56, Pete.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I really do. I think both defense, even though we saw little glimpses of good play last week against the Dallas from the Arizona defense, they still have issues. You know, no Chandler Jones is an issue when you play Russell Wilson. I think they're going to go after him. When you go after him, you got to have great play on the back end. I think they're still suspect back there, even though Baker and Murphy and that gang played good the other night. And on the other side, I think Seattle's defense is putrid. I think it's awful. They don't do a lot of things well, and that's a problem when you play Kyler Murray. They put up, 38 points the other night against Dallas? And then, granted, Dallas stinks on defense. He didn't even play that well. I think he plays well here. I think the Cardinals win the game, and I think it's going way over that total.
Yeah, Seattle defense stinks, yeah, but they're actually pretty solid against the run. And that's what the Arizona offense has leaned on. They're 18th in pass DVOA, 2nd in rush DVOA. They attempt more runs. I think they rank 7th in run attempts.
But that counts Murray's running, too.
That does count Murray's running, and that's something Seattle's going to have to defend. But Seattle's D's top 10 in rush DVOA and large yards per rush, you know. So if they're going to shut a team down and actually have a good defensive day, it's going to be against a good running team. Arizona's D has been good, but they're not really tested yet. You know, you mentioned that they've been playing well. Their wins were against Jimmy G in week one. That was a game they were super prepared for, you know, beat a team that they had been really close to last year. And then their other three wins came against Dwayne Haskins, Joe Flacco, and Andy Dalton. Congrats, guys. You know, you did a great job stopping those quarterbacks. Seattle has the big rest advantage here, so people might want to play them because of that. Arizona played Monday night. Seattle, you know, has been on the bye. But teams in that spot are 0-7 against the spread since 2017. So wow. If you're just playing a trend, you know, you would actually want to take Arizona here. My lean is to Seattle at 3.5. I'm not going to take Seattle, but when it gets to 3, you know, I would bang them because I think that Seattle offense is going to go off on the Cardinals defense, and I think they'll get just enough stops to cover the number.
They've played a lot of close games, even when the Cardinals weren't good, though. There's a weird dynamic in this matchup between these two teams. It's just weird.
I like Arizona. You know, I've been talking up their defense. They've allowed 20 or less in four of their six opponents. The two games they lost, obviously, those were their bad efforts against Detroit and Carolina. I think they have a talented defense, and the one bad injury, Chandler Jones being out, if there's a section of their defense that they could afford a big name injury, would be at the linebacker spot, because they have so many talented linebackers, Jordan Hicks and Campbell and Reddick. They got some really talented linebackers. So, you know, the Dallas, I had a big play on Arizona against Dallas, easy winner, love to have those type of games. But I was very unimpressed with Arizona early in that football game. And like Pete said, Kyler Murray didn't even play well. He didn't play well until Dallas turned the football over. That game could have been easily a 3-0 game or 3-3 at halftime if Dallas doesn't turn the football over. But two turnovers in a row by Zeke, And Arizona got good field position. They punched two touchdowns in. And then all of a sudden, Kyler Murray started to get confidence once his team was winning. So it was a kind of a different guy with the lead. If he falls behind here, you know, Russell Wilson's a hard guy to bet against. He just continues to win football games. So that scares me. But defensively, I've got a 7.5-point advantage for Arizona on defense. And I've got about an 8-point advantage on offense for Seattle over Arizona. So these two teams I got rated very evenly, but I'll take the points with Arizona because of the defense.
Yeah, I don't mind the over here either. I would lean towards the Cardinals if I was taking something. The start to that game, I agree with you, Kenny. That was concerning. But, man, we told Dave and Ryan on that pregame show on HQ, like, what are y'all – why are y'all taking that? I went on an epic Cowboys rant, and it was – spot on. Like, the Cowboys suck and the Cardinals are substantially better. You're not going to overpower Seattle like this, but I do think they'll be able to move the football with their weapons against the Seattle secondary. I think Seattle can answer. I actually wouldn't be shocked if this turned out to be like a Chris Carson breakout game and nobody else really did a whole lot. I don't know that I can see it happening, but I mean,
the Vikings moved the ball up and down the field on the Seahawks.
Everyone can play
and pass, and they're not good.
Right. Yeah, but they only averaged 4.1 yards a play. So that's, you know, that was that's Andy Dalton. You know, that 38 points is deceiving as well because, you know, they're trying to run the clock out and Kenyon Drake runs 69 yards for a touchdown. You know, that's the play that very rarely ever happens in the NFL.
Fair. All right. Cowboys, I'm allowed to say that, are a pick'em at the Washington football team over under 46. Pete, who do you like here?
I like the Washington football team to win the game outright and dominate on defense. I think that Cowboy offensive line is awful, and now they're down another guy. So, you know, they're really banged up, and they're bad. That's what's going to be the difference in this game. I think that defense is going to turn them over. They're going to make a lot of mistakes. I love the Washington football team in this spot. They win the game outright, and I don't think Dallas looks good at all.
Yeah, I don't know how to have confidence in this game. I don't like either of these teams. That O-line is going to be a major issue, like you said, but Andy Dalton can't handle the pressure. I mean, Washington could probably do enough against a bad Dallas defense to get the win. So, yeah, I don't mind that play, but I'm just staying away from it. My lean would be to Washington, but I don't want it.
Hey, this is a battle for like first place in this division. Come on. One team's got two wins. The other team's got one team. Washington wins. They have as many wins as the Cowboys have. So it is a battle for the division. I don't like either offense. Under is the play for me. I think it's going to be a very conservative game. I think it'll be a closely played game. So looking at Washington's offense, the last 5 weeks, 15 points, 20 points, 17 points, 10 points, 19 points. Dallas' defense actually came together last week until the two turnovers by Zeke, where they had a nice defensive game. And again, that late touchdown gets you 48 points. If you don't get that touchdown, it's 41. And I think that's where that game should have ended up. So I'm under with Dallas and Washington in a battle for first place in the East.
I think I'm going to talk myself into playing Kyle Allen and Terry McLaurin in the DraftKings Millie Maker contest. That's how bad Dallas's defense is. I love Washington here. If the like Andy Dalton could have Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, and Jerry Rice out there at wide receiver, and he's got Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and Amari Cooper. It's a really good trio. It's not three Hall of Famers, but it's a really good trio. It doesn't matter. As soon as you take away his offensive line, he crumbles. And against a good defensive line like the Washington football team has, it's going to be a problem. Dallas ain't going to run the football. They're going to have to try and pass, but he's going to be pressured all game long. Washington will create a couple of turnovers, punch a couple scores in, and be able to lean on the run game. And maybe Antonio Gibson has a big day as well. I think Washington, I don't think they roll in this because they won't score 30 points, but I think they win pretty easily. Browns -3 at Bengals. The over-under is 50.5, Pete.
Look, I know I'm on the other side from guys on this one. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think the Browns will win the game, but I just think the Bengals will hang around. I think Joe Burrow will be able to have some throws down the field against the Bengals. Against the Browns. I'll take the Bengals with the points. I don't love it. I'll take but I will take them. I think the Browns win by a point or two.
My best bet's the Browns, but Cincinnati barely covered in that first meeting thanks to a meaningless touchdown at the end. You know, they lost by five because of that touchdown, but they actually got their butts beat in that game. Cleveland ran for 415 yards in that win. You don't need Baker Mayfield to dominate this defense if you can run for 215 yards. So Cleveland stock is lower than it should be due to those ugly road losses, Baltimore and Pittsburgh now this season. And, you know, I think they're actually a pretty good team with a good coach. Burrow's flashed overall, but that Cincy offense doesn't look good. 31st in adjusted sack rate. That's a problem when you got to face, you know, Myles Garrett in this front. So getting Cleveland at only three is a value to me after their awful game. I think it should be at least four. I think they're going to win by a touchdown.
The only game this year Cleveland has out-yarded their opponent in yards per play was the Cincinnati Bengals. And they out-yarded them 3.5 yards per play in that game. Everybody else has outgained the Browns. So that scares me. I'm on the Browns in this one too, but I'm also worried about Baker Mayfield. I was told out of Cleveland last week, he did not practice at all the entire week. He should not have ever played. He begged his way into the starting lineup. The wide receivers begged the head coach to let him play. They let him play. He was horrible. He wasn't ready. He's got a rib injury, and those are painful. So I'm not sure where he's at this week. If he's anywhere near 80 or 90%, the Browns should win the football game, though.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Baker, like, and you're right, he should not have played in that game. That was the best pass rush in football, the best run defense in football. And you just got to take your L and play Case Keenum and see if you can cobble something together. You can't risk Baker Mayfield's health in that spot. I know he hadn't been very good, but he's still your franchise quarterback, your former number one overall pick. This is a totally different ballgame. The Bengals stink against the run. The Bengals stink on defense. I would bet that an ideal Kevin Stefanski game plan here is Baker Mayfield throws 18 times, like an old fashioned Kirk Cousins, one or two shots down the field, a couple of third down plays, but mostly it is a heavy dose of Kareem Hunt. And then once you get to about 22 carries, a heavy dose of D'Ernest Johnson. Now that won't preclude the Bengals from coming back through the back door, because that's what Joe Burrow likes to do, and they're good against the spread. But I'm going to take the Browns, because like if this were five or six, I'd take the Bengals and think that they could come in and steal it. But at three, I think Cleveland will cover this, and they will run the ball a ton, minimize what Cincy can do on offense by just eating up clock. And I would normally like this to go over because these two teams score a lot, but because they're going to run the ball a ton, I will take the under.
Kenny, I got a quick question for you before we move on. Let's say Baker Mayfield's ruled out in this game in case Keenum's a quarterback. What do you make the number then?
I've only got a 1-point drop off. So I don't think the line's going to move much. I say the line maybe goes down to one, Cleveland one.
See, I think you leave it at three. I don't think you need the quarterback to win this. I think it's all run game and defense here.
Yeah, well, I agree. That's what I think the game plan should be. Will it be, though? I mean, we usually write in the way it should go, but sometimes these NFL coaches don't respond to that. If Cincinnati makes a couple plays early and goes up and there's a turnover by Cleveland, the game plan's out the window, and then they're going to need to throw it.
That's true.
Getting a call, guys.
All right. Gotta go. See, Kenny. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Kenny's going to bounce out of here as we continue on. By the way, you know what, Pete? I see you, Pete. We do this on video. You can watch us on youtube.com/pick6. And, Pete, you exude confidence. You do. It just oozes out of you. You can tell you're a confident guy. And you know what?
Sometimes, of course I am.
Of course you are. Sometimes you look good.
Carly Simon wrote, "You're so vain about me." Are you kidding me?
You look good. You feel good. You pod good. That's how it works. And that's why. In these times when you're spending all this time at home and you're trying to look comfortable but casual but nice, you need a great set of clothes to wear. There's no denying what a nice outfit can do for your confidence. That's why I put on Express clothing and know I'm going to have a good day. I can get compliments while I'm feeling comfortable. I'm laughing because my wife is now standing at the stairs staring at me. She said, "Leave that poor old man alone."
She said, "You look bad no matter what you're wearing." That's what she said. Didn't say that.
There are some days where we do this podcast at 9 a.m. and there's some days where we do this podcast at 2 a.m. and we're on video every single time. So I need that all day comfort. And that's what I get from Express. Feels like I'm wearing sweats, but no one that sees me on CBS Sports HQ or the YouTube channel has any idea. When I go out in Raleigh, they don't know that I'm not wearing sweatpants, but I feel like I'm wearing them and I'm casual and comfortable. So check out what Express has to offer, and you can do so. You get a special discount here. Text the word football to 397 737. The word football to 397-737, and you will get $25 off a $50 purchase. That is a 50% discount just by texting the word football to 397-737.
Yes. He walked into the potty like he was walking onto a
yacht. I heard my office door open as I was starting the ad read, and then I heard AK like not come up the stairs. I think she was like waiting to listen to see. She's like, what does he do for a living?
What does he do?
He's in his office a whole lot. All right. Steelers at Titans. Titans minus one, over under 50.5.
I love the Steelers. Love them. I think they're the most complete team in the league right now. They're of all the good teams, they're the one that can play on both sides of the ball. The Titans are really good on offense. The Titans defense isn't very good. They don't have Taylor Lewan. I know yesterday, Brinson, you were giving me crap. I was saying, okay, you were saying Devin Bush isn't there. I get it. Well, Taylor Lewan's not there either. When Taylor Lewan's not there, they're an entirely different offense. They allow pressures 34% of the time compared to 27%. When he's on. So Pittsburgh leads the league in pressures per game. I think they get after Tannehill. They're going to choke off the run. Tannehill's not going to play the normal game that he's been playing. And I think the Steelers are going to score points. I do think the Titans will score because they'll have a couple runs by Henry, big runs, and then he'll hit a couple shots. High scoring game. Love the over, but really love the Steelers.
I really love the Steelers too. Well, I made a big move across zero Wednesday, not on the basis of any injury news, because we knew the Bush news, we knew the Lewan news. So I don't know why the market is moving so heavily to the Titans, because the Steelers, I think, are a much more complete team. I think people are just buying into the Titans. I mean, they looked great last week. This is their toughest opponent by far, and they're coming off an overtime game where they had 600 yards of offense after just playing a Tuesday game. So maybe they're a little gassed for this matchup. Maybe, you know, it starts to catch up to them at some point. But that Pittsburgh defense is second in DVOA, third in points per drive, second in yards per rush, so they could slow Derrick Henry down. It's not like he's been a monster every single game this year. I think Pete was taking heat because he said that he hadn't had a good yards per carry number, even with that stiff arm. You know, he was like, oh yeah, statistically still not good. And then he has a really good game and everybody wants to come after Pete. It's like, that doesn't change the stats. He still wasn't having a good year. So, yeah, Lewan's out. Tannehill's pressure rate goes up, like Pete said. So while that Pittsburgh defense against Tennessee offense is a great matchup, I think the Pittsburgh offense versus Tennessee defense is a big mismatch because that Tennessee defense isn't playing well. They need to create turnovers to have an impact. But that Pittsburgh offense has the second lowest turnover rate in the league. So if we get the Steelers team we've been seeing, I think they win this game pretty easily.
So when these guys were scheduled to play in week four, I loved the Steelers. It was like Steelers minus two, and I put a big bet on the Steelers, and it got canceled. And now I've kind of changed my mind, and I want to go with the Titans, but I'm not I'm on the Titans for our picks. But if you guys want to include the Steelers in the best bet.
No, if you're on the Titans, you don't put that in there. If you're on
I was on the Browns last week. It worked out fine for the podcast listening.
Find another game.
All right. I like the over in this one.
I do like the over in this one.
I think, and RJ was right, and you hinted at it. You didn't definitely say because you didn't know that there was an overcorrect. There was a week coming where unders were going to hit. And so now the lines have been brought down a little bit, and this over-under got down to 50.5. I just think that the Titans are going to be involved in overs because they can score either on the ground with explosive plays from Henry at times, as they did last week. They can pass. A.J. Brown is a big play waiting to happen, and they can't play defense. They can't slow anybody down, and the Steelers are willing to kind of get into a shootout, I think. And so I think we could see a ton of scoring here. I really do. I know the Devin Bush thing didn't have a huge line swing, and I've said this a bunch of times, but I think it's really important. I want to see what impact Devin Bush's absence has, because when Ryan Shazier got hurt, it caused him to fall off a cliff. So I'm just at least curious to know what happens. And maybe it's not as big a difference, but I just want to see what happens when Devin Bush is gone. But I like the over in this spot. RJ, you like the over?
Sure.
You have to force the over if you don't like it.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, do you like it or not?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. So over in the parlay.
Yep.
All right. And last game with Pete, Jaguars at the Chargers. Ooh. Chargers minus 7.5.
The Jaguars are thankful that the Jets are around because they're the second worst team in the league. But they might be worse by the time the season ends. They stink. They're bad. They can't play defense. Now Avery Jones, who's their only guy who can play the run, is gone as well. They're banged up on all across the board. Minshew can't do anything. I think he's the most overhyped quarterback in the league. Everybody loves his mustache and his long hair. He can't read, he can't throw to open, he only throws to open receivers. You hear his receivers starting to complain about him. The Jaguars traditionally have had all kinds of problems on the West Coast, even when they were good. Their history says the West Coast has been bad to them. I think Herbert lights them up. I think he scores a ton. I think Minshew will get some garbage time like he always does to get the over. But, and he didn't get it last week, but I think he gets the over here. But I love the Chargers in this spot minus the points. I love the Chargers and the over is two of my best bets.
Yeah, Jacksonville has the worst pass D in the league, and it isn't close by DVOA, which is saying something this year because we say the Cowboys are the worst, you know, defense in the league. The Seahawks are the worst defense in the league. Well, the Jaguars are the ones that that are like way in last place. That's pretty awful. The Chargers pass offense is 7th in DVOA. Herbert's made a big difference there, even though he doesn't have a win yet. He should have a field day. But Chargers typically botch these home covers, so I don't really want to lay 7.5 with them. I just never feel comfortable about doing that with the Chargers. Chargers are 8-17-1 against the spread at home in LA. While I'm in choose 4-1 against the spread as a touchdown underdog. So I'm not super comfortable in the Chargers. I would lean that way, but I'm throwing him in my teaser. That's the second leg of my teaser. So my teaser is going to be Chargers minus 1.5 and 49ers plus 8.
I think the Chargers are a slam dunk here. The Jaguars, if there's one thing, like the Chargers are 1-4, they shouldn't be minus 7. If the Chargers were 4-1, and they've been really close in some of these games. Like they could easily have won several of Justin Herbert's starts. If they're 4-1, this line's like 13.
And they could have won the last two against two good teams on the road against the Bucs and the Saints.
Yeah. And they had the Chiefs on the roads too. Like they could easily be 4-1 with three of the best wins. Like, or I guess that'd be, yeah, 4-1 with three of the best wins of anybody in the year. And if that's the case, then all of a sudden you're talking about like, I mean, you know, this Chargers team, a Super Bowl threat and all that, and they're a 13-point favorite here. Something crazy. The Jaguars, conversely, they got my boy Stephen Hauschka out there shorting like 38-yard field goals. They can't score. They're terrible in the red zone. The play calling is a mess.
Lambeau's back. Revenge game. Lambeau's back.
Revenge game for the kicker, yeah. But if he kicks 6 field goals and they cover, I'll take that out.
They're not going to – I'm telling you, this is going to be ugly. I'm with you.
The Chargers are going to steamroll them.
Yep.
And they're going to get up, and Minshew won't be able to do anything, and they're going to run the ball a ton.
You might see a change of the head coach if they get ugly. I think and you also might see a change coming at quarterback. I don't know how soon, but they like the Luton kid, and he's got a big arm.
Well, you put a big arm. Isn't he a rookie?
Yeah.
You put a big arm rookie in there, and I will happily keep taking the Chargers minus 7.5. Like if they
he's not going to do it this week, but Minshew's going to play this week.
Are we going to get 4 head coaches fired before Adam Gase? I mean, what a world that would be.
Incredible.
Crazy.
Yeah. All right. So RJ does not like – you don't like the Chargers enough to make him a best bet, though.
No, I think if we're choosing – because we have 3 now. And if we're choosing between the Steelers, Titans over, and the Chargers, I would take the Steelers, Titans over.
Okay. All right. So that's the parlay. It's in before we have to say goodbye to Pete. It is the Buccaneers minus 3.5. The Bears, Rams under 45, the Steelers, Titans over 50.5. And if for some reason the Bucs open up at like minus 7, obviously don't add it. You can put the money line in there or something like that if you want to increase the value of the parlay, but don't mess around with that.
It won't be minus 7.
I don't think Chargers in that case.
If the game is moved, you know, 2 game parlay.
If the game is moved, then we'll throw the Chargers in. How about that?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll throw the Chargers in if the game is moved. Okay. Okay, well, we're going to take a break. Say goodbye to Pete. Thanks.
See ya. Goodbye.
See ya.
Walked into the party. Most of the people who probably listen to this have no idea what that song even is and who it's about and what it's about. Do you remember that song?
I certainly don't.
You don't know You're So Vain from Carly Simon.
Oh, that's what I thought it was. Yeah, I just wasn't in the tune.
And you know who was supposedly sung about, don't you? Warren Beatty.
Oh yeah, that's right. I was thinking it was.
She would never say. So the reality is, she's talking about me.
We're so vain.
Am I vain?
Thought the song was about you.
I probably did.
That's it is a really good shot to take at somebody when you're like, "You're so vain." You probably thought the song was about you. Yeah. And then like, wrote like a very famous song, and like the guy knew it was about him, but he had to think it was about him. And so
it's
good job by her. All right, buddy.
All right, guys. See ya.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, so now that Pete's gone, we can make fun of him for seeing Carly Simon on the podcast. Dito, do you know who Carly Simon is?
That's a resounding no on this side.
Have you ever heard that song before?
I'll have to play it. Obviously not on the podcast, but
if you heard it, you I think you'd know it.
I think that's fair.
Pete's not.
You know, the podcast audience skews a little younger. I don't know if Pete's demographic, we'll call it Pete's demographic, is necessarily.
I don't even know. I mean, I've just heard it a bunch on the radio. My parents played it.
Right. The idea that I had that I'm pitching to our higher ups, to the bosses, is that we have a show on CBS Sports HQ where Pete sings songs, very popular songs, and people try to guess what they are because they can't tell because it's
him. Walked into the party. I think those are your Sylvain lyrics, but I don't know. It doesn't sound like it. All right. Lions at Falcons. Falcons -2.5. The over under is 55.5, RJ. As I mentioned earlier, I love the Lions. I think you do too.
Yeah, best bet on the Lions. I'm not going to say wait to get three because I don't think you're going to get it. I think the sign's coming down. Atlanta blew out Minnesota. Now it's time to respect them. You know, I'm not buying it. I don't think that that's true. I don't love the Lions, but it looks like they actually have a balanced offense for once. That running game's coming together. DeAndre Swift had a huge game. Granted, terrible defense, but, you know, look who he's playing this week. It's another terrible defense. Detroit played a tough schedule before the bye. Those opponents that they played, those four opponents, are combined 16-6 straight up on the year. So just because Detroit doesn't have a great record doesn't mean that, you know, they're not a strong team. You know, they just had to play a lot of bad teams. The Atlanta pass D is still terrible. Stafford does a good job of protecting the ball, so I don't think that the Atlanta is going to be able to rely on turnovers this week. And this is a look-ahead spot for Atlanta. They're at Carolina on Thursday next week. Are they going to be as focused here as the favorites? I don't think so. I think Detroit comes in and wins this game. So, yeah, Detroit best bet.
Yeah, I like the Lions in this spot. It's prime bounce back. Detroit coming off a bye. They have a better offense. Neither team plays any defense. I think I put I like the over too, but I'm a little worried because we've seen, I mean, I know like Atlanta and Minnesota went over easily, but I mean, I had a live 47.5 on it, like in the first quarter, and it looked dead as a doornail at halftime. And it was sort of a miraculous comeback to hit that huge number. So that would be my only concern about taking the over.
Yeah, it's a little too high for me. Falcons could, you know, kind of struggle at any time. I think that offense has been a little inconsistent. And it's good that they got Julio back. They really unlocked things. So maybe if Julio's healthy, if everybody's healthy, they should be able to score points. So you're probably fine with the over. It's just 55.5 is such a high number that I don't want to play it.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is like both. I mean, you need, I mean, even like 23-23 is not even remotely close, right? You need a lot of points.
You're talking about something in the 30s,
right?
31-28, that kind of thing.
I mean, you just go down there and you get a fourth down conversion attempt in the red zone. You miss that, or like a missed field goal or two, and all of a sudden, you know, you have to wonder: do you even have a prayer of hitting it? You know, it's just dangerous. All right, Panthers at Saints. Saints -7.5, over under 51.
I love anybody watching this on YouTube because they see Brinson, you know, side-eyeing over there over and over again.
He just dropped his ball.
Cannot pay attention on the podcast he's recording. Best bet here, Panthers +7.5. New Orleans hasn't proven it can blow teams out. Their best win was by 11, and it took a pick six to do that. That was that Tom Brady game in week one. The New Orleans defense has good efficiency numbers, but they're awful in key situations, including 31st in the red zone. Joe Brady's offense has been impressive. The points aren't always there, but they are moving the ball. And, you know, New Orleans might not even have Michael Thomas back in this game. He's dealing with another injury. He didn't practice on Thursday. I think they can score points, but Carolina can definitely backdoor cover if needed. And let's talk about Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater is 30-10 against the spread overall, you know, in his career.
Yep.
But then you look at following a straight up loss, he's 13-3 against the spread. As an underdog, he's 18-4 against the spread. And on the road, he's 16-3 against the spread. Obviously, there's some carryover on some of those. So you can't just say, oh, add them all up and he's, you know, a million and you know, 10.
But he's one of the best against the spread quarterbacks in the history of football.
This is his, give him 7.5 points. He's going to cover. This is his prime area to cover here. So
can we get him in Canton based on covering spreads?
We're going to get him in the Gambling Hall of Fame, which isn't in Canton. We're going to put it in Vegas, I would think.
Or like Piscataway, New Jersey.
It's got to be in Nevada, so we're probably maybe put it in Reno, but we're definitely putting it, you know, somewhere in Nevada.
Okay, I like, but I mean, like, it's true. Like, and I do you think it's because it's some skill set he has, or is it just a disinterest publicly? Because I feel like people look at this game, they're like, Drew Brees versus Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, this isn't even close. It's like, well, Teddy Bridgewater is just better than Drew Brees right now.
Right. Well, you got to look at the situations too. A lot of that was obviously Mike Zimmer, and Zimmer, as we know, has been a great covering coach too. So Teddy was playing with a good defense there. People probably undersold him and that team, but the defense was playing so well. And then he covered 5 times with the Saints. People undersold him when he had to replace Drew Brees. We didn't know what kind of Teddy we were going to get. So, yeah, it just seems like in these situations, it's ripe for the number to be a little bit higher than it should be. And this looks like one of those spots too.
Yeah, I agree. I like the Panthers here. People were big on the Saints, and I get the Saints are very good, 9-2 against the spread over the last few years with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. I think coming off a bye, you know, they're at home. The Panthers have struggled traditionally to keep up with the Saints, but this is not a powerhouse Saints team. Now, I almost thought it would be better if Michael Thomas came back, because they might try and lean too much into feeding him the ball instead of running it with Alvin Kamara, because I think that's their best path to beating Carolina. If you're giving me 7 to the hook, I mean, Teddy's going to storm through the back door at some point. It's going to be a close game and the Saints will win by a field goal. I just don't think it's a bloodbath.
I'll push back on that. I think if you're taking the other side, you don't want Michael Thomas on the
field. I mean, right.
You're in any situation.
Right. That's a fair pushback. It's one of those things I say, and I don't know if I
really. You talked yourself into a pretzel there and you're like, yeah, this is, I found the hot take that nobody else is going to have. And it turns out there's a reason nobody has it.
Michael Thomas not coming back is good for the Panthers. Michael Thomas coming back is good for the Panthers. Here's why. My thesis. Chiefs, 9.5 at the Broncos, over under 46.
Yeah, Chiefs probably cover here, but I don't want to lay the 9.5. But I think they're good enough to beat the Broncos by double digits. My lean would be to the under 46. I don't want to really touch the spread. You know, KC probably, there's too many points on the road just for me to play that situation. But KC has gone under in 6 straight road games, and it's a good formula for it here. Denver offense is pretty terrible. They had to keep settling for field goals against New England. Their bottom 4 and third down rate and red zone rate. And so those efficiency numbers are terrible there. Kansas City's defense has been excellent most weeks, despite the tough schedule. They ranked 10th in DVOA. Denver has a good D too, so it feels like another 26-10 type of Kansas City win they got against New England when they were playing, you know, the quarterbacks, the quarterback poo-poo platter there. So rather than a shootout, it's going to be one of these lower scoring games. So I would lean to the under.
It is pretty shocking to see a KC number 2020, a total that's under 50. Because that should tell you that playing their unders has been a profitable thing. You're right. Division road games, they're running the football. Pete argued on HQ with me and Brady. He's like, Mahomes doesn't like it. He wants to sling the ball around. I'm like, I don't think Mahomes cares. He's got an MVP. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He wants more Super Bowl rings. That's all he cares about right now. He's set the record for passing. You know, he's 5,050. We know he can do it.
He's got half a billion dollars.
Right. He got married. His wife's pregnant. He's got everything in the world that you could possibly want. You think he cares about passing the ball more as opposed to just winning football games and letting, like, if teams want to back up and play soft zone coverage, pound the ball with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and now with Le'Veon Bell. I think Andy Reid, I just don't believe that Mahomes is upset by it. Like, the idea that he would even be remotely bothered by being able to run for 6 yards a carry and not have to throw the ball 50 times is crazy to me.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a stats chaser kind of guy.
Right? I don't seem like at home, like talking to Brittany or whatever her name is, and be like, I can't believe Andy won't let me throw the ball 50 times. Or whatever his little squeaky voice is.
More Russell Wilson than anything. Russell, you know, was winning games and never had huge stats and never got an MVP vote. It's team first, you know, consummate leader from all we know. And he's already proven he can do it. It's not like he has anything to prove.
It was just the weirdest take on the planet from Pete. I didn't get it. And of course he wants to put up big numbers and win and, you know, have a huge day, but he doesn't need to throw 50 times. And I think the Broncos will probably do a little something similar to, you know, whatever else. Like, they don't want to get torched by Mahomes, so they're going to play a little bit softer and the run game will be there. And that's what Andy Reid wants to do. I think it simplifies it in 2020. So I said this before the season, and Andy Reid is doing it exactly like I said.
You cheated off Andy Reid's paper too, is what you're saying.
I said it before the season started. Or maybe Andy Reid and I are best friends. Maybe we make macaroni and cheese together at Thanksgiving.
Put a lot of ketchup on it.
I like the Chiefs in the under here too. I don't think Denver's going to score much. The line should be like 13, but it's like a Patriots bump, maybe. I don't know. Bills minus 13 at the Jets, over under 45.
Speaking of 13, power ratings say take the Jets here. You know, should be probably be 10. Ain't taking the Jets. Nobody's taking the Jets.
I've seen a lot of people take the like smart bettors I know that have are like putting bets in on the Jets. Why?
It's like the Browns. It's the Browns from a few years ago. Yeah, yes, just keep firing away because they can't possibly be this bad, and the data says that they shouldn't be.
The NFL teams, there's parity. NFL teams aren't separated by that much. Eventually, the line's going to be too big. No, it doesn't matter for this team. They suck.
So, yeah, that, I had to check myself on that, too, because I took the Jets once earlier in the season, week three or week four, and that was it for me. No more. You know, I can't do it.
That's literally what I wrote in my picks. It's like, I'm not betting on the Jets. I don't care who's at quarterback as long as Adam Gase is coaching them. Now, like, I might be willing to take the Jets like plus 10 after the week after Adam Gase is fired, if he gets fired this season, because that's making the dead cat bounce. But the way that they're playing, the offense they're running, the defensive schemes, they can't stop anyone and they can't do anything to anybody. There is no reason to take the Jets, especially like, If anything from this game I like, it's Zach Moss over rushing yards or Devin Singletary over rushing yards.
Preview for next week. They're at Chiefs. Do you know what the line is?
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's is it 22?
It's like at some places open 21, some open 22. It's
like, now, that's the tester.
You're not going to trick me into taking the Jets there. I'm still not taking
them. I'm just not going to bet on it. But, I mean, like, I'll pick the Chiefs in my thing. Because remember – I think I started here in 2011 was the first 2011 season. What was the season where the Packers beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl? Was it 2011 season or 2010 season?
I think 2010. I think 2011 was the Giants.
Yeah, that's right. So I started here in the 2010 season. And then 2013 was Broncos-Jaguars. I remember we wrote about that because – the Jaguars were 26-point dogs, I think. It's like insane. I mean, Peyton was at his peak powers. Jacksonville was awful, starting Chad Henne. And the Jaguars covered pretty easily. Like, they lost by 16, but they covered the 26. Next week is I don't know, man. I think the Jets are worse than the 0-16 Browns and the 0-16 Lions.
Yeah, if you look at teams that have been favored by 21 or more, they're 10-0 straight up. They never lose. They're 1-9 against the spread. They almost never cover. So it seems like the thought is take the Jets there. I still can't do it. I can't take the Jets in this game. Circling back, they're the perfect cure for the Buffalo defense that hasn't played well. Jets are last in third down rate on offense, last on red zone rate, last in points per drive. Somehow 31st in DVOA. So congratulations, ooh, Giants. You're last in DVOA.
That's the most incredible stat of the year, honestly.
Yeah,
I can't. How are the Jets not the worst team in football? And by the way, that's another reason why people probably should have taken the Eagles on Thursday night.
Yeah. Yeah.
In theory, he said after the game had happened.
In theory, without knowing what's going to happen. So the Jets are terrible against the pass. They're selling off pieces already. They made two trades coming out of last week. So the teams, there's no reason they're going to play hard in this game. Josh Allen should have a huge day. Buffalo probably covers. Can't lay 13 on the road in a divisional matchup, can you? So just stay away from this game.
You sure can't. All right. I'm going to let my wandering eyes get out of here so I can go watch Ty Hatton make more bogeys and ruin my Munoz first round leader. RJ, always a pleasure. Oh, you know, I got to read the recap, don't I? Yep. Sorry. Recap. Hatton just stuffed one on a par three. This guy's unbelievably hot. It's driving me nuts. 2 weeks in a row, he's going to be first round leader. RJ has Detroit, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Cleveland, the LA Rams and Chicago under. He's teasing the Chargers to -1.5 and the 49ers to +8. Love that tease. Pete is taking the Packers and the Packers over, the Steelers, the Red. He wrote that, not me. Washington, the Chargers and the Chargers over. Kenny has the Cardinals +3.5 small. Okay. This is bad. You don't get to pick how big it is. The Brown, we're not giving like half a best bet here. The Browns -3 small. Cowboys Washington under is the 49ers, the Bucks, and the Bears.
Go big or go home, Kenny.
Seriously. You don't get to do small best bets. And I've got the Lions, the Steelers, Titans over, the Chargers, Washington, the Buccaneers, and the 49ers. And our best bet, our parlay, Pick Six Podcast parlay, now 3-3 on the season, not 3-4-3, but 3. We've hit 3 of 6 on the season. Bucks minus 3.5. Bears, Rams under. Steelers, Titans over. Bears, Rams under 45. Steelers, Titans over 50.5. That is the Pick Six Podcast parlay that I promise you I will not put in myself. I haven't bet it once.
You know what the good thing is about hitting three of those already? Is that they're 6-1. So now we're guaranteed to be plus money on that for the whole season.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and so I hope people are still betting them. We're going to keep hitting them. We're locked in right now. And we're going to stay that way for the rest of the season. In no way will we regress, RJ.
Actually, not going to happen.
I actually don't think we will. I think we're going to stay hot all season. Good stuff as always. Talk to you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.